This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. When it became apparent that COVID-19 was going to be a real problem in this country, and Governor Phil Scott ordered Vermonters to stay home, ski resorts were among those who found their income and industry severely affected. As VPR's Nina Keck has reported, closing early last season cost the state's ski resorts about $100 million. So they may have initially been pinning their hopes on a good 2020-2021 season. But as the pandemic stretches on, they've had to figure out how to adjust their expectations and their operations. The state has asked Vermont ski areas to make significant changes to try to prevent the spread of COVID-19 on the slopes. Every skier and snowboarder this year will have to provide information for potential contact tracing, and they also have to comply with Vermont's quarantine requirements or risk the potential loss of ski privileges. Ski areas have to reduce their reliance on out-of-state staff, like ski patrollers who might come over for weekend work. They must also reduce capacity on lifts and in day lodges. And the state has asked resorts to loosen their cancellation policies so skiers aren't tempted to break the rules out of a concern about losing money. Ski resorts have expressed support for keeping visitors and staff and community members safe. But the situation we're in is going to seriously affect these resorts and all the associated businesses and people who rely on them. Skiing and riding is usually a $1.6 billion industry in Vermont alone. So today on Vermont Edition, we're going to talk about the new rules and how resorts are complying. Joining us via Zoom throughout the hour as we cycle through other guests is Steve Wright, President and General Manager of Jay Peak Resort. Steve, it's a pleasure to talk with you.
Afternoon, Jane. Thanks for having us.
So I've engaged with you on some Twitter conversations with people who are alarmed or concerned or, you know, annoyed by these regulations. I'm curious, you know, just how you're feeling and how you're responding to what must be myriad different opinions from all kinds of people about the rules and what Jay Peak is doing.
Yeah, there's no shortage of opinions for sure. I think by default, I think resort operators tend to be optimistic just by virtue of the business that we're in, that we're subservient to the weather. But, you know, we're optimistic that we're going to be able to provide a product. But there's, you know, without question, with the travel restrictions, the limitations on indoor gathering and gatherings in general, there's cause for concern, not only in the ski industry itself and the resorts themselves, but certainly the lodging sector that makes up such a big portion of what it is that we do.
Do the rules that the state has put out, are they generally ones that you agree with?
Yeah, I mean, I think all things being all things considered, we've worked with the state very closely with Commissioner Pichek, Commissioner Curley and Deputy Commissioner Brady. We've worked very closely with them in developing these guidelines, and you know, with the governor's direction, our priority here is to keep our staff and our guests safe. So these things that we're doing are important, and that, you know, we generally try to dovetail that thought with the reality that what's equally important is that we get relief and rescue funds on the other end of this thing, because the reality is that, you know, the resorts and the hotels are going to be injured by this, and we're going to need a way to keep ourselves moving in the right direction once this thing crests.
With so many industries and so many people who are in need of extra funds, why should the ski industry be singled out to get any kind of either federal funds or state funds moving forward?
Yeah, certainly a fair question, and one that's been asked of us. I mean, skiing and the resort communities account for about $2 billion worth of dollars into the state of Vermont, and it's a, you know, especially for a place like Jay Peak, it's a significant contributor to the rural areas of our state, with 2/3 of that spend happening off mountain in our local communities. That direct winter spend represents about 40% of the total tourism spend in the entire state, and it generates about $130 million in tax revenue for the state of Vermont. So obviously it's important. And then you sort of factor in that, you know, the lodging sector really to this point has been the only sector that has been expected to enforce these travel guidelines. And then on top of that, we're asking the resorts to enforce and to, in some cases, penalize our guests if they're caught to be not following those guidelines. So the injuries that we incur as a result of those realities, we think, are at the top of the funnel in terms of needing relief funds.
Steve, you mentioned staffing, and J.J. Tolan, the communications and events director at J-Peak, told us that you usually, or at least, you know, last season, you had about 1,800 employees, and by St. Patrick's Day, you had 32. So what are you staffing up to this season?
Yeah, and J.J. wasn't even one of those at that point, to be honest with you. We're hoping to get back to about half of that, Jane. Again, you know, what we're seeing, the tea leaves that we're reading are showing that, you know, resort reservations at this point are off anywhere from 50 to 60%. And that seems to be pretty consistent with lodging-based reservations across the state. So we're going to staff to whatever that number ends up being. I mean, the ski industry accounts for 13,000 jobs, give or take, in the state. And more than a quarter of those are full-time year-round. Those numbers will be dug into for sure as a result of this.
So somewhere south of 1,800, north of 32 is what you're staffing
up
to.
Yeah, let's put it at 500, and then we'll adjust up or down based on what the virus does.
Well, how much are you impacted in staffing, and then we can talk about other things as well, by the U.S. border closure with Canada, the U.S.-Canadian border closure?
Well, the border closure, which is obviously a federal decision, is something that's impacting our guest travel more than it is our staffing. The few staffing or staff members that we have that work here at J-Peak have green cards, so they're allowed to come through. But we don't really rely on the Canadian market for a high index of our staff. We will have some patrollers that can't make it. Unfortunately, they're some of our best patrollers, but we're going to have to figure out a way to make do without them.
And in terms of the visitors, then, you know, that's a significant chunk. What, about half of your visitors usually come from north of the border?
Yeah, during the winter, we rely on about 50% of our total customer base comes from Canada. It's about 70% in the summer, and we felt that a little bit with respect to the golf season. But yeah, half of our guests aren't going to physically be able to get here because of the federal closing.
Steve Wright's going to stay with us throughout the hour as we talk about the ski industry and hear from many of you with questions or concerns or creative solutions or things that you're hoping you'll be able to do this year, perhaps if the slopes are a little less crowded and you live in Vermont. Our number is 800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. You know, a lot of other ski areas also draw visitors from outside of Vermont's borders. And while the border with other states may not officially be closed, travel is very severely restricted right now. So let's check in with Mike Solimano, president and general manager of Killington Resort and Pico Mountain. Hi, Mike. Nice to talk with you.
Thanks for having me.
So, you know, you were hearing what Steve was saying about what the deal is at J-Peak and what he's thinking. Are you sort of feeling the same way, that these are generally good rules but are going to have a major impact on you?
Yeah, I agree. We work at state and we feel good about them. I mean, obviously, as Steve mentioned, they're going to be tough on us, though, right? So clearly at Killington, we're in about the middle of the state. We don't have as many visitors coming from Canada, so that's a different issue that Steve has that we don't. But, you know, we have a lot of out-of-state visitors, and, you know, we're a big resort. And so it's definitely going to be a challenge this year. You know, we're expecting, you know, I mean, if you think about that, if you're expecting revenue to be off 30, 50% or more, that's pretty challenging, I think, for any business.
You were also, I think, hoping to open on November 14th, right? But this weather we've been having is not really cooperative.
Yeah, it's warmed up, obviously. So we would normally be open by this time. I mean, typically in a normal year, we're opening towards the end of October, try to be the first to open, last to close. And this year, with everything going on, we decided that we would actually announce a date, which was November 14th, mainly to be able to spread people out and have more than one lift running. And so that's been the plan. We did actually start making snow, but then it's warmed up, and we're hopeful that maybe we can get open sometime next week.
We got a note from Jim in Dorset who says, "I have no confidence that weekend skiers will abide by the travel restrictions. Hotels should be required to request a copy of a negative COVID test pre-arrival, and significant penalties should apply if those requests are not made." Mike, how are you dealing with this issue of potentially people coming from out of state and not following the state, Vermont's state guidelines?
Well, we are requiring people to, you know, to sign an affidavit that they did follow the guidelines. And, And so, I mean, I think the challenge with things like what he's suggesting is we also have a lot of people that live in our communities that have second homes that have moved here for, say, the last year. And it gets very complicated to decide just because somebody's driving around town in, with a Massachusetts plate or a New York plate doesn't necessarily mean they're not really part of the local community. I think with everything that's happened in the last year, we've seen a lot of people move into these communities. So I think we are doing, we're doing a lot, and we're actually, you know, following, I think we have some really strict rules that we're following and really trying to do the right thing.
What about you, Steve? How are you dealing with this at Jay? Because there are a lot of concerns about whether people out of state will follow the quarantine rules.
Yeah, I mean, to answer the caller or the emailer directly, I think that, you know, these out-of-state plates are an easy thing to look at and throw your hands in the air and say nobody's paying attention to the guidance. But one thing that everybody misses is are the folks that have decided to pay attention to the guidance and have stayed home. You don't have a look into their living room to see that they're paying attention to the guidance. So the only thing that you can pay attention to are the reservation paces from all of the hotels in the state and all of the ski resorts in the state. So I'm looking at my pace right now for Christmas week, which is the biggest week of the year for us from a revenue perspective. And we're 70% off where we should be. So I'm here to attest to the fact that somebody's paying attention to the guidance.
You know, Mike, when we think about ways that different areas are affected, we're going to talk about restaurants, and we've talked a little bit about hotels and resorts themselves. I think there's at least one and maybe more ski academies by you. So how are ski academies dealing with this?
Yeah, I mean, that's a challenge, right? I mean, their kids are year round. So I think, you know, for us, it's Killington Mountain Schools based on our access road. And, you know, they're trying to deal with a lot of the same issues that a lot of schools are dealing with. So, you know, I think the advantage is those kids are not coming back and forth each weekend. They might be from out of state, but they've moved here just sort of like college students have. And they've been here for a period of time. So, you know, we don't think there's much risk from that type of group.
And are they going to be able to ski on the mountain as normal? I mean, all access will be open as it normally would to those students?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, we have substantial capacity constraints this year, right? So
right.
We're working, all resorts are working to reduce capacity. So, you know, each resort's doing something different. But, you know, and I would say most, the way it's really going to impact a lot of those students is that we're really not going to be able to do many races on weekends. We just have too many constraints to deal with that. So I think you're going to see across the industry either a lot of those races getting canceled or moving to midweek to be able to handle that.
Mike, you mentioned that different resorts are doing different things to make sure that they're meeting capacity restrictions and not overloading base lodges or lifts. I think one of the things that Killington is doing is requiring people to have a parking reservation. Is that sort of in lieu of a reservation to ski or ride? The parking is what's going to sort of help determine capacity for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's really, for us, it's a two-tiered system. So we really have season pass holders, and then pretty much everyone else has to buy a ticket on our website. That way we'll know exactly who's at the resort at any given time. And so we will be limiting ticket sales on our website. And so that's kind of the first capacity constraint. And then we're using a parking reservation system that anybody that has a pass or has a day ticket also needs to get a parking reservation. So we're using two different ways to try to control capacity. And, you know, we feel pretty good about it. So anybody coming to the resort is going to need to do a parking reservation. And you know, we've done a lot of modeling to make sure we understand how many people we can handle based on some of the new rules for uphill capacity and base lodge capacity. So we feel pretty good about that.
Steve Wright, what is Jay Peak doing?
We've spent a lot of time and a lot of planning trying to build some of these outside sort of microclimates to keep people outside to the extent that realistically you can do that in Vermont. We've invested in, you know, windscreens and fire pits and food trucks to try to spread people, get them outside of the base lodges and get them wide outside, although they're still in the elements. You know, we have the ability to spread them out quite a bit more when we can get them outside. We've introduced contactless software and POS systems here at the resort. We're introducing an online dining app that all of the guests can order food and have that food delivered right to their units, so they never really get into the never get into the restaurants or the base lodges in some of those cases. And a lot of that has been, we've been able to do that because the state, you know, has earmarked that $2.5 million worth of funding for these operational amendments and changes that the resorts have had to do. If it wasn't for that money that they've appropriated, it would be difficult for us to integrate this, you know, given how bad our bottom lines look at this point.
Let's go to Deborah, who's calling in from Colchester. Hi, Deborah. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
Yep. Right. Loud and clear. Okay. Go right ahead.
Yeah. I had a suggestion, kind of a request. I definitely have a personal stake in it. I have twins that are in sixth grade now. They're in fifth grade last year, and we got really excited about the fifth grade passport program through the state of Vermont. We purchased the pass, as you guys probably know, skiing ended in March. And I still have my books, and I was hoping that maybe the governor would, you know, do something to make them valid this year. Unfortunately, my kids can no longer do the program that's offered at middle school that was offered last year, so they're going to miss out there where, you know, the bus takes them mm-hmm. to the mountain. So, you know, I realize that the mountains are all taking a loss in the ski industry, but I think, you know, it would be great if the governor would, you know, would say, oh, these are valid next year, this year.
Yeah, Deborah, I hear you. And I haven't heard that from the governor yet, but Mike Solomano, can you address that? I mean, are you offering special exemptions for things like the fifth grade passport or, you know, other ways that people who may have been affected last year might be able to be enticed back to the slopes this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of resorts are doing different things. I'm not sure I can speak specifically to that product, but, you know, I think as we closed early, we offered up credits to all our pass holders towards this year. So, you know, I think for most products, we did that. And even though we closed early and it really hurt us financially, we decided that was the right thing to do. And then I think as you move into this year, one of the things we've done and a lot of other resorts have done is we've kind of guaranteed, and we've called something we call the pass holder promise that said people can get a refund on their pass up through November 20th. So anybody that wanted to buy a pass this summer had the ability to buy it, not knowing what the future was going to hold. But, you know, typically people get worried and want to get a refund. This way, we're allowing them to, no questions asked, get a refund. And, you know, I think that's helped people feel good that we're really trying to take care of them.
Yeah, so nothing specific to the fifth grade ski passport for Deborah's twins, sadly, but other ways that you are trying to take care of people. Well, Deborah, I'm sorry to hear that you have lost out last year and looks like maybe losing out on some of the programs that are normally available to middle schoolers this year. I've been wondering about, you know, what schools who typically do have those winter ski programs for students are doing, and it sounds like yours, at least, is not able to do it this year. Thanks for calling in. And Mike Solomano, thank you very much for joining us today. Good luck. I hope it's a good season, at least weather-wise, to help in some way.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's Mike Solomano, president and general manager of Killington Resort and Pico Mountain. We're talking about Vermont's ski season right around the corner, supposedly this week even, although it doesn't look like the weather's cooperating. Jay Peak, president and CEO Steve Wright, is with us all this hour to provide some continuity, and we're hearing from other resorts and community members and skiers as well. We got a note from Jeffrey who emails, what are current regulations on staffing for part-time workers that are weekend-only staff who work and live out of state but travel to Vermont for weekends and may work or volunteer one day a weekend all winter to get a free pass? Are these people exempt from quarantine restrictions? Steve Wright, my understanding is no, these people are not exempt from quarantine restrictions. Is that correct, or are out-of-state staff exempt?
You're correct.
Okay, so any of your out-of-state staff are not going to be able to be coming in just for weekend work. It sounds like you don't have a ton of that, but for weekend work, unless they are also quarantining at home when they're not in Vermont.
Yeah, they still need to participate in the 14-day quarantine or the 7-day with a negative test.
So when you talk about, you know, how your staffing and your staffing levels are going to be significantly lower than they were at the beginning of last season, are those kinds of people the ones who are losing out on, you know, their season pass and maybe a couple days or a couple weekends of work?
Yeah, I mean, I'd answer it a few ways. For Jay Peak, it isn't as relevant just because we don't rely on out of state staff to come in at a very high index. But some of the Southern Vermont folks downstate, you know, Mount Snow, Bromley, Magic, some of those folks that rely on out of staters are going to feel it for sure.
Let's bring in another voice here. Lindsay Delaurier is president of Bolton Valley Resort, which her family owns. And we should note for transparency, Bolton Valley is a VPR underwriter. Lindsay, welcome back to the show. Nice to talk with you.
Thanks, Jane. I'm happy to be here.
So, you know, for Bolton Valley, you know, we've talked with Jay Peak, we've talked with Killington. Bolton is smaller. Bolton caters a lot to in-state skiers, although certainly not exclusively. What are you thinking about how this season might look for Bolton?
Well, I mean, you know, like you say, we're on a smaller scale than Steve and Mike, for sure. But, you know, there's no way, I think, for any ski area to, you know, pencil out a projection that looks positive relative to a normal year. So, you know, we're projecting coming in well behind last year. Our sort of best case projection is about 20% behind last year. And, you know, that's taking into consideration the fact that we lost 3 weeks of our season last year as well.
So can Bolton survive your best case projection and your worst case projection?
Well, it's funny, you know, our catchphrase around here for the winter is safety and survival. And that's really the lens through which we're looking at our operation overall. And yeah, I mean, you know, we're confident we will survive in part, you know, the assistance that both the federal and state government provided to us was really helpful over the summer. And, you know, depending on how it goes, you know, we'll be eager to see what, you know, is rolled out after the winter. But yeah, I mean, we're confident we're going to survive. We're fortunate that, like you said, you know, we have a larger reliance on a local market than some of the other ski areas, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt to lose, you know, out of state visitation. And you know, the reality is too, is that, you know, our business is more than just skiing. You know, we're going to have fewer people in the base lodge. We're going to have fewer people in our restaurants. You know, we've got travel restrictions, which is, you know, which, Steve's been talking about the impact of that on lodging and, you know, those, that just doesn't add up, but we're lucky that people are excited to ski. We're lucky skiing's outside and, you know, we're optimistic that we're going to have a decent winter, all considered.
You know, we were talking right when these regulations were announced with Abigail Giles, who's a digital producer here at VPR, but has reported and written extensively on the ski industry in her previous jobs. And she was saying, you know, there's this sort of two sides of the coin here. For some of the resorts in Vermont that are now owned by really big corporations, there may be more financial security, although that's not a given. In these operations and a little bit more of an ability to weather a couple bad seasons in a row. On the other hand, local resorts that are independently owned, that are smaller, may be able to be more nimble in changing around their operations or doing things creatively. They don't have a whole bureaucracy that they have to work around or other resorts in other places that they have to sort of collaborate and coordinate with. Where do you feel like you fall on that sort of seesaw, Lindsay?
Well, Bolton Valley's on the smaller side of that seesaw. I mean,
whether you're going to be, you know, whether it's like a good thing to be small and independent or a bad thing and more scary.
Well, I mean, I think there's pros and cons, you know, to both. I mean, I think what you just said is really true. You know, we're smaller, we're independent. We don't have, you know, deep reserves, and that's just the reality of where we are. But we are nimble and, you know, we also have a greater reliance on a local market. So I think that's a real positive for us going into this winter. And, you know, the other thing about being local that we're really grateful for at Bolton is that, you know, it's such a small and such a local community and, you know, not to say this isn't the case at other ski areas, but certainly our community, our skiers, they totally have our back. They're really understanding of what we're up against. And, you know, we're in a constant kind of dialogue with them. And, you know, we're watching, you know, the survival side as a business. You know, we've got the safety and then we've got the survival and we're making some tough choices related to that. We're watching our price points. We're getting rid of some discounts. You know, we're changing things up in order to ensure our survival. And, you know, we're really grateful our community is supportive of that and they're really understanding. So, you know, I think it's a pro. I love who Bolton is, and it's, I think, you know, we're nimble and we're going to weather it But certainly it would be nice to have some, you know, some big backing for sure.
Well, you know, about that, you said you're changing up some of your offerings. You know, I'll admit I was looking last night at the Bolton Valley season passes, and there are no longer any passes that are available for season tickets without blackout dates. And, you know, it's not like the rates have decreased from last year. So do you feel like, you know, keeping the rates high and maybe having fewer skiers and riders is going to be better than, you know, offering sort of deep discounts to Vermonters or trying to entice locals more to your resort?
Well, the reality is with capacity restrictions, we're going to have fewer skiers up here. You know, in addition to having fewer people in the base lodge, fewer people in the restaurants, et cetera, we're also going to have fewer skiers. So we have to be thoughtful about, you know, what we can do in terms of rolling out discount programs that people might be used to. You know, it's not a numbers game like it might usually be where you just want to get more people up here. You actually don't. And so, you know, like you just said, we actually took our unrestricted pass product off the market because we really want, you know, really all we think we have room left for are the blackout passes. We identified 9 days where we think we're really going to, you know, struggle with our capacity. And so our blackout pass blacks those 9 days out. Our goal for season pass holders is not to restrict their visitation if we can. You know, this whole season is caveated by, you know, everything is subject to change. We have to see how it goes. But if we can, we're going to limit our lift ticket sales and not our season pass holder visits. So we think we're sold out of unrestricted passes right now.
Let's go to Tim, who's calling in from Morgan. Hi, Tim.
Hi.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just have a question about the cross-country industry. No one's been saying anything about the cross-country industry this winter.
Tim, is that something that you're interested in as a cross-country skier? Are you concerned? Yeah. What are you thinking you're going to do?
Well, I would go to a cross-country center or ski in a free area. But it seems like there would be cross-country available. And also backcountry skiing. How does the virus affect that?
Yeah, thanks for your questions, Tim. I will say Sherry Brown wrote in to say, we are thrilled to be able to provide access to trails for cross-country skiing at Blueberry Hill Outdoor Center in Goshen. As an owner-operator of Blueberry Hill across the road, we've already been working with travelers to comply with the required certificate of compliance. We do have concerns about extending this to day visitors. The work to provide education and assuring real compliance is incredibly time-consuming. We are committed to keeping Vermont safe, though would appreciate any ideas on how other small businesses are applying this requirement. And Lindsay, what about for you? Bolton Valley also does a lot of cross-country skiing and there's, you know, backcountry offerings as well. So, you know, what are you thinking for people who want to really focus on cross-country this winter?
I mean, the lucky thing about cross-country skiing and backcountry skiing is it spreads out really well. So, you know, actually, I think that's a great thing for people to do. And I actually think it's a great thing for people to try this year. So we're really leaning into our backcountry programming this year. One of the things that we're doing, kind of expanding it, is we offered season leases on backcountry gear this year, knowing that for a lot of people, this might be the year to try it. So we're operating our Nordic and our backcountry programming. The limitation is really going to be on the indoor spaces. So, you know, people who come up for Nordic skiing, you may not be able to hang out in the Nordic Center the way that you're used to, but certainly gearing up at your car, buying your ticket in advance online, all of our lift tickets, we're encouraging everybody to buy them online this year. We have ticket boxes and we're encouraging people to, you know, if they're not reloading their card that they already have, to pick their card up at the ticket box. And so, you know, the same is true for alpine skiers as for Nordic and backcountry with regard to, you know, how you actually get out to the slopes. But I think it's a great year for Nordic and I think it's a great year for backcountry.
Well, good luck. I hope it really is a great season for you. And thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
That's Lindsay DeLaurier, the president of Bolton Valley Resort. And, you know, Tim and Morgan also asked about backcountry. And, you know, one of the things that's going to come up when we talk about backcountry are inevitably, backcountry rescues and people who are skiing off trail. So let's turn now to Rena Perkins, director of the Northern Vermont region of the National Ski Patrol. Rena is responsible for managing membership and training of some 500 volunteer patrollers working at ski areas north of Route 4. Rena, nice to have you with us. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Jane.
Are you worried about more people trying out backcountry skiing, maybe skiing off trails to stay away from crowds, and perhaps some backcountry skiers who aren't as skilled as they maybe should be?
Absolutely. I think we've seen a pretty big uptick in that sort of activity in the last couple of years anyway. And last season in March is any indication, we're absolutely going to see more of that. When the lifts did stop spinning last March due to COVID, we saw a lot of people getting out on the hill with their backcountry gear, some safely and some not so safely.
Well, so how does COVID-19 change, if it does at all, how you respond to an emergency situation?
Well, outdoors, it doesn't change things a whole lot because just by virtue of our outdoor gear, we are wearing our PPE already. So, when we respond to an accident in a winter environment, we're already wearing our gloves and our mm-hmm. mask and our, weatherproof clothing. Our challenge is going to be patient care indoors, I think, and sort of managing the amount of people needed to provide good patient care once we're inside and off the hill.
Well, what about having enough people generally? Are staffing issues a question for you, and especially with the requiring resorts to have less reliance on out-of-state staff? Is that an issue for your group of volunteers?
It is for some of the volunteers in the southern portion of our region. Volunteers who work at Sugar Bush, Mad River, those areas, many of them do come in from out of state. And I think it is important to know that medical first response is not the majority of the patrol job. The majority of the patrol job has to do with managing the terrain, managing, opening and closing trails, checking out lifts as we ride them, that sort of thing. And that that work is not dependent on the number of guests on property. That work is dependent on how much terrain is open, how many lifts are open. And so staffing numbers kind of need to remain the same or else we're going to be pretty short-staffed, I think, if we aren't able to access many of our volunteers. We also do have some volunteers who have decided that they do not want to patrol this year because of the fears of infection and COVID.
Hmm. Rena, we got a note from Garrick who says, I'm a professional ski patroller at one of the largest mountains in the state, and I have been for about 8 years. As you may know, it's already difficult to scrape out a living as a ski town resident. From my perspective, this has been one of the hardest falls I have experienced. I've already been on unemployment for longer than I ever have in my life. I normally would have started work at the resort about a month ago, and I may not be called back to work until the beginning of December. I just thought I'd offer that point of view. The skiing, which we all love, is not the only casualty of the current situation. Rena, you must have sympathy for Garrick and others who are in that situation.
So much sympathy. I was a paid patroller, full-time paid patroller for quite a while, and it is not an easy job. It is long hours. It's only 4 months a year. The pay isn't great. It's hard on your body. It's hard on your soul. It's the best job ever, but but it is very difficult. And having those hours, we don't get very many hours during the season. And having that sort of squeeze in the fall where you don't have the shoulder season work is just going to be devastating for our paid staff and may be leading to paid staff who aren't able to work, also leading to short-staffed situations.
So just before we let you go, Rena, what do you want Vermonters, skiers, riders, anybody who's visiting the slopes to know or understand about the job of the National Ski Patrol and what you're doing to try to make sure that everybody has a good season and everybody can stay safe?
Well, yeah, and I think the key to having a good season is staying safe. So a little common sense goes a long way on the Hill. Educate yourself before you go out. If you're going to be doing some backcountry, any sort of backcountry expeditions or adventures, make sure you have all of the supplies that you need and you know where you're going and you know, just plan for problems, you know. I think just being safe is going to be the key to having a good season. And whether it's minding the precautions and quarantining when you need to, or having the proper equipment and clothing when you go out on a backcountry trip.
Well, I really hope it's a good and safe season for you and all of the volunteers that you work with. Thanks very much for talking with us, Rena.
Thanks so much, Jane.
Rena Perkins is director of the Northern Vermont region of the National Ski Patrol. Today, we're looking at the ski and snowboarding industry in Vermont and how it's coping with what looks like it may be a very different and sometimes perhaps very difficult season this year, coming on the heels of a shortened season last spring. JPEAK President Steve Wright is with us this hour answering some of your questions. And how about this one from Chris, Steve? Chris is from Essex and writes, "One thing that will make or break our visit to a ski area is the restrooms. Will you have porta potties so people don't have to go indoors? We don't want to go into the typically crowded bathrooms in the base lodges." What's the deal at Jay?
Well, that's a fair question from Chris from Essex. Before I answer that one, Jan, I do want to revisit real quickly the out-of-state workers question that we said that there was no path for them, you know, in reviewing the guidance here, there really is a path for them to come so long as they're working and they're not recreating here. They can come into the state to work. And I would just suggest that any folks that are in that position, just get in touch with the resort that they work at and find out what that is, because the guidance does allow for it.
So less reliance on out-of-state workers, but not no out-of-state workers, not, you know, exactly the same.
Okay. Yeah, the resorts are expected to limit the numbers, but there is a path for them. And as far as porta potties go, in a cold, sometimes inhospitable state, JPEAK is even further than that with the winds and the weather we get up here. So we really reason that the porta potty experience wouldn't be a pleasant one. So we've really figured out a way to open up our base lodges in a way that are safe, or that is safe and in step with what the state will allow us to do. And we think that we'll have plenty of bathrooms, because really the volume to the resort is going to be way down to begin with.
Do you have more people answering phones, customer service? I mean, somebody like Chris might want to call ahead then to a resort, but it's going to be pretty frustrating if you can't get your question answered.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, one thing that folks can do is they can go out to Ski Vermont, the Ski Vermont website, where we've got all of the guidance information segregated by resort, so folks can go online there and take a look and have their questions answered really without even speaking with someone.
Melissa is calling in from West Glover. Hey, Melissa, go right ahead.
Hi. So I had a question about trying to save the industry in general, and that in some, I used to I'm a season's pass holder in northern Vermont here. And I used to live in Austria, and in some of the European alpine towns, communities are requiring that ski visitors present a negative COVID test before checking into their accommodations. So at least one town in the Tyrol has set up an instant test center at their tennis stadium that can test 30,000 people per day, and it's one of those 15-minute test things. And they're testing seasonal guests at one price. It's 65 euros. And they can't check into their hotel until they've got their negative test in their hand. And then seasonal workers and locals are tested at 20 euros, and they can come and go as they need to. So couldn't Vermont, quote, resorts set up something similar, at least for their hotel guests, and then require that the guests not leave the premises until the end of their reservations? Sort of like, I mean, at JPEAK, they've got two driveways going into the area. If, you know, let's say to travel, I get a test. I mean, I'm in Vermont, so I wouldn't do this, but somebody else would get a test 72 hours before they left so that they know they're negative. They show up at the main entrance at the end of the driveway there at the snowflake, and they get their instant test before they go and check into the hotel. And then Jay can sell hotel rooms and know that their people don't have to quarantine for a whole 2 weeks.
I mean, yeah, and Melissa, you know, maybe this would also apply to out-of-state visitors who are coming just for day trips, because I think that is a major concern that a lot of Vermonters have. What do you think about it, Steve?
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad idea at all. I think the limitations to that are having access to those 15-minute Abbott Labs tests, which are in short supply and difficult to access. And then, you know, I'll be completely honest with you, the costing on that right now in terms of cash flow is probably not something the resorts could integrate into their plan at this point, given what they've been through since the shutdown in March.
Wouldn't that be something that skiers would pay for themselves, though?
Yeah, I mean, if it was something that we could add onto the backs of our guests, certainly that would be an option. I think it realistically, though, access to the number of tests that we would need for the, you know, 4 million skiers or so that we generally do into the state of Vermont at this state of the game might be difficult.
I mean, it also begs the question, what happens to somebody who comes from a few states away, tests and tests positive? That's not a situation anybody wants to be in, although certainly knowing would be better than not knowing. Let's bring one other voice in here as we continue to look at the whole ski and riding picture for this winter. Eric Friedman is executive director of the Mad River Valley Chamber of Commerce. He's also a former longtime marketing director at Mad River Glen. Eric, thank you very much for talking with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jane, and it's good to be on with you too, Steve.
Eric, you know, there's so much more than just ski areas that rely on ski tourism and the ski industry in Vermont. What are you and what are your members feeling right now?
I think they're kind of reeling a bit these days. It's been a tough time, and I think our lodging members in particular, you know, they were the first ones to close down, and they really took it on the chin early. They were you know, their priority has always been keeping our communities safe, and they really bought into the rationale on why they had to close, and were very willing to do it and sacrifice their business and do their part. And I think what their big thing is that they really just want to make sure that the relief and recovery aid is going to come in on the backside, because the onus is on them. And I think that's what their biggest concern going into the season is.
Yeah, I mean, are there associated businesses, restaurants, lodging establishments, you know, food trucks, all kinds of people and businesses that you think some of them might not survive?
Oh, without question. I mean, I feel like, you know, I was brought into this position because of my marketing ability, and you know, that's what I took this job for, and trying to bring people into this community, and I sort of feel like I've become a counselor for some of these businesses. And I mean, I'm literally talking to business owners just in tears, you know, that have good, successful businesses that have been working for years and years and years, and to no fault of their own, they're really in desperate shape.
Do you see anybody, though, also preparing, finding creative solutions, you know, trying to sort of accommodate a real change here that might be good for others to hear right now as they think about, boy, how am I going to survive this winter?
Without question, Jane. I mean, it's been really inspiring to see how businesses have pivoted and changed their operations and made silver linings out of a really tough situation. And I think in some ways there are some things that they're doing that are gonna stick long after this pandemic's over, and will be, you know, something that will be staying with us in a lot of ways. So yeah, they've been, like I said, it's been inspiring to watch them. Mm-hmm. And the level of commitment to their communities that they have has been amazing as well. You know, as they see their businesses at risk, how they're willing to step up and help out, you know, other members of the community that are also in desperate shape. I mean, it's been, like I said, it's been inspiring.
Let's go to Hans, who's waiting on the line from Linden. Hi, Hans. Nice to talk with you. Go right ahead.
Hi. Like, I'm a racer and like a tourist skier, and this all started with me in March, and I went down to King Pine in you know, New Hampshire. It's a little ski area, and I run the Mountain Dew. I got 198 medals. Nobody's even near me. And all of a sudden, there's no Mountain Dew. It's canceled. And they said, well, you can still ski here. Why would I want to ski there? I only want to win first place. So then I said, well, how about, is Burke and Jay open? No, they're shut down. It's very shocking. You think, well, the COVID is somewhere else. And after that, I started wearing goggles and masks. You got to wear all that stuff when you go into town. Then I went up to buy my usual pass. I buy it up at J Peak. So I go to the Passumpsic Bank and get Canadian money because that's how you save $80. So I go up there. There's no head-to-head thing. And he said, well, you can't call from here. So I go to the town to Jay, and I call her up, and I said, well, can I still – we're not allowing any Canadians in this year. Okay. So then I went to a restaurant in Newport, the Cow Palace, and I had –
So wait, Hans, let me stop you because, you know, I can tell that, you know, you live on the mountain and this is something you're really passionate about. And you know, racing is also key here. But so what are you thinking about this coming season? Are you, you know, are you optimistic?
Well, nothing shocks me anymore after the COVID and, you know, Trump not admitting he's defeated. Nothing, anything could happen. But, you know, you have a lot of good memories at these mountains, and it's getting a little stiff moving around them, you know. Like, when I was up to get the pass at Jay, it looked like a neutron bomb went off. There's nobody. It's a really beautiful, Jay Peak is the most beautiful place. There's nothing to touch it.
But, yeah, Hans, I appreciate your thoughts, and, you know, this is something that for so many people is such a part of life. Eric, you know, it sounds like it has been for you as well, both, you know, in the sort of Mad River community, but also during your time at Mad River Glen. Mad River Glen especially has this, you know, this sort of sense, this, you know, ski it if you can kind of feeling, and this idea that, you know, that there's a togetherness and a bonding for people. And Mad River Glen, as I understand it, has already closed season pass sales. I mean, it is going to be a weird winter no matter what, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm in contact with, you know, all my old friends at Mad River all the time. And I just had a conversation with Matt, our general manager, you know, just yesterday. And, you know, one of the things, my takeaway from that conversation was the fact that, you know, our ski areas here, both Mad River Glen and Sugar Rush, and we're blessed with these two great mountains here, you know, they're members of our community. Their kids are in our schools. You know, their spouses work in other, you know, businesses in town, and you see them in the supermarket. They care very much about the community, and they understand that people are coming into Vermont and putting our community at risk potentially, and they don't want to be responsible for that. So they take this very, very seriously. And, you know, I kind of bristle at some of the, you know, the fact, the negativity towards some of this, you know, towards the ski industry sometimes, but these people are, they really care.
Yeah, Eric, I hear you. And, you know, they really do care. And so do so many Vermonters who really care about this industry, not only for their individual enjoyment, but for what it means to our communities. Sorry to cut you off there, but we're short on time. Eric Friedman is executive director of the Mad River Valley Chamber of Commerce. Eric, thank you so much. And Steve Wright, thank you so much for sticking around this whole hour to talk with us. Steve is president and general manager of Jay Peak Resort. Steve, thanks.
Good thing, Jane.